This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up. The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
The Hargan women seemed to have it all.
We were blessed. My mom was amazing.
But detectives would soon discover...
Inside the house, there were the bodies of two women.
A story of betrayal you would struggle to believe if it wasn't true.
I am just praying to God. This is a sick joke.
From 48 Hours, this is Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings. Listen to Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings, starting May 8th, wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Hey, guys. Welcome to the Outlander After Show on AfterBuzz TV. We're talking Season 5, Episode 9, Monsters and Heroes. I'm Adrian Snow, and I have with me Rachel Goodman. Sorry, that name. I always want to say Ratner.
It's all right, yeah. Hey, everyone. Rachel Goodman here. If you, Rachel Radner's my pen name for my romance books.
No worries. I also have Angel Taylor.
Hey, guys. Good to be here.
And Lee Broadway, as always.
Hi, everybody. Thank you for tuning in tonight. We're glad you're joining us.
Yes. All right, so let's just go ahead and start off with first thoughts.
Whoever wants to. I was loving, absolutely loving the connection between Roger and Jamie this episode. Mm-hmm. It's different in the books because it just wasn't like in the show, I feel like up to this point, Roger and Jamie really haven't seen eye to eye. But now I feel like they're actually family. And I was like, oh, this is very, I was just so, all the fuzzies watching them this episode.
Nice. Sorry, give myself better lighting. Angel?
Same here, but all I can do is just laugh at how Claire brought him back to life.
Yeah. That was an experience.
Yeah, shut up, conventional.
Oh my God, the show. Lee?
So I love the theme of heroes and monsters, and it appears Roger was the hero because he really protected Jamie while they were waiting for help to come. You know, dragging him out of the forest to the best of his ability and showing that he really cares about him and he wanted him to live. And very interesting relationship they have, but also the theme, you know, of relationship between Claire and Jamie. It's again, so beautiful and loving, and she doesn't want to cut off his leg, but it's an option, but she's torn between doing what he really wants to do, and that's keep his leg versus making sure that he lives. So yeah. There's this really interesting conflict between them right now.
Yeah, I really, this episode was a bit slow for my taste. And I understand that those episodes aren't, sorry, my cat's doing something that I need to address in a moment. But overall, it just was like the pacing was a bit slow for me and I wanted a little bit more, but you know, I know they need these kind of like slow paced episodes. Usually they do that when we're about to have like a really intense episode coming up. So, but let's go ahead and into it then. So let's just start off with, cause it's kind of quick and then we jump into Jamie and that kind of like takes us along the rest of the episode. But just that moment with Brianna and Claire, where they're talking about the limitations of being in that time. How do we all feel about that?
Well, I love the fact that they would bring that up and then there would be a lot of callbacks to it later. That's what I appreciated. And I could feel that that's what they were doing. And so I was like, okay, this is very good setup. But also just getting back to the conversation itself, this, we know like the push for Roger and Brianna is ultimately they might want to go back. And we know that that's best for both of them with Jemmy, but just because it's a safer time period in the future. But ultimately, though, what I enjoyed was the fact that they were setting this up for what was to come in this
Lee?
Well, the conversation about with Bree and Claire about, you know, Bree and Roger finding their true purpose and can they really be happy in this time frame, you know, of history, and are they really going to be able to find fulfillment, you know, as a couple if they feel that they're not contributing to society, you know, during the 1700s. So I think they're, you know, Roger and Bree are struggling with really finding what it is they are there for and really trying to create a life for themselves that's meaningful.
Angel?
I agree with what Lee said. I feel like they're both, Claire and Bree are very career-oriented women. And they had a role that was very empowering during their present day. So to go back in time, and
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Add a berry blast off for your day with the new Berry Pebbles. A berry twist on a classic breakfast. Perfect for giving those growing minds a blast of creativity. With the new Berry Way to Pebbles. Yabba dabba do you with Berry Pebbles. Head to postpebblescereal.com to learn more. Yabba Dabba Doo and the Flintstones and all related characters and elements, copyright and trademark Hanna-Barbera.
I don't think it minimalizes what they were doing, but it kind of like what they were doing is unheard of at that time. So they're not able to operate at their best, fullest capacity, and it stifles them. So I felt that resistance this episode.
Just really quickly, I just want to give a shout out to a couple people on the chat. We've got Jacob Marquez and then also Billie Jean Girl 24 saying Bree should have made a syringe from the beginning. She's an engineer.
Yeah, I was thinking that. Why wasn't there? Why haven't they found somebody to make a syringe yet? Because, I mean, I know it's they can't make it as tiny, but still, like, something that could be in place of that, but you know, she did it by the end, you know, this very last minute. I did like the conversation. My bad. But I did like the conversation between her and Claire, and you know, even the way that they talk about navigating their lives in that time, it's like, well, damn, I mean, you guys were coming out, you know, growing up in the 60s, you still, it wasn't like they had, you know, all the freedoms that we have, don't have now. So I couldn't imagine going back, just keeping it real.
I caught that, Adrian.
You know, but yeah, just for them to kind of be struggling with having essentially all this knowledge and not really being able to use it and not really being believed when they do speak up and when they are educated on something, that they'll just be dismissed as a silly woman or as a witch or crazy. And, you know, I was like, dang, that's just, that hasn't changed in 300 years. All right. So let's go into.
We just got deep.
Jamie and Roger. So we get to kind of see them have their little guys moment before, you know, shit hits the fan with some snakes. And how do we feel about that, just with like the men going out on the hunt for buffalo, which is kind of like, oh right, that was a thing.
What I loved is that originally Jamie came to get Brianna, not Roger. I was like, okay, good. Like, yeah, Jamie, it was hilarious, first of all. And Jamie knew. Jamie's like, oh.
Yeah.
But what I appreciated was that even Jamie, who's a man of the 1700s, was going to his daughter over the daughter's husband to help him with sharpshooting. I was like, yeah. Okay, thank you. Round of applause, Jamie. And I was happy with that. I also appreciated that Brianna obviously was trying to get Roger and Jamie to bond. Mm-hmm. So she's like volunteering Roger up to do this.
Yeah. Angel?
I was, you know, Roger always does something every episode to piss me off, right? This episode pissed me off when he wasn't able to shoot the damn, what was that, bison?
Buffalo.
Wild buffalo.
Buffalo, okay. Like, how hard was it when there were so many in the fields after Jamie shot the initial shot? They still didn't kill anything. That was like absurd to me, because Roger was closer to the buffalo than Jamie. But yeah, I did like the bonding between them, and he calls him my Roger Mac, and that was cool. I was like, oh, okay, so we're like father and son now. So yeah. I did feel the transition happen this episode. Not so much last episode, but this particular episode is a pivotal point for the both of them.
Mm. And Lee?
Well, I love how Brianna always makes her man feel like a man. You know, when Jamie came in and he's asking Brianna to go shooting with him for the buffalo, Brianna, of course, pipes in and says, oh, well, let's have Roger go with you. She always supports him. And I love that relationship, no matter, you know, how much of an underdog he appears to be in each episode. Brianna always stands by her man. So I love that whole theme. And yes, Roger didn't, you know, he wasn't able to shoot the buffalo, but he did prove himself a hero again, because he helped Jamie survive the incident with the snake bite. So I think that makes him a hero in my book.
And what I appreciate is that Roger and Jamie both know, they both have different skills. And just because Roger is a professor doesn't mean that he can't survive in the wilderness. Mm-hmm. I feel like he brought a lot to those scenes with his own knowledge, especially of, you know, 20th century knowledge with anti-venom. Not that they had anti-venom, but he did bring a lot in terms of, well, we need to do certain things to keep you safe. He created the stretcher at the end that he was using to drag Jamie back. Mm-hmm. So I feel like Roger.
I figured out where that came from.
yeah.
That was a good addition.
Yeah.
I mean,
the venom out. That's something that you have to do when you incredibly love someone.
Yeah, that's true.
I was trying to put myself in that position. Like, would I do that to someone? And I can't wrap my mind around it. Like, maybe my own mom, of course, my kids, but. Someone who's not that close to me, that's hard. That's a hard pill to swallow. Like, actually sucking venom and their blood in your mouth, even though he spits it out, that's still like, at some point you're gonna swallow some of it. So yeah. that's a lot.
Yes. Well, we have, thankfully, things that do that for us now. We don't have to do that unless you just happen to be hiking in Griffith and get a rattlesnake bite, but like, there's little mechanisms now that'll do that for you. You just put it on there and it'll suck it out. I believe Jamie did shoot a buffalo, but he didn't get to get it because he got bitten by the snake. And then by the time Roger would have been able to go shoot the buffalo, that's when Jamie yelled out. Also, Roger did end up saving Jamie's life in the end because he brought the head of the snake, which ended up being used as the needle for the penicillin. So, yeah, I think it was nice to have them kind of bond, and also for Jamie to see Roger in a different light, and not just somebody who was willing to abandon his daughter, you know, over the Point Break. Sorry, I couldn't think of his actual name. What? Point Break thing.
The thing that I mean, Roger, not to mention Roger spiritually, kept Jamie's spirits up too, with one, his optimism that Jamie would survive, but two, I enjoyed and appreciated the moment they shared where they were both quoting verses from the Bible. I was like, okay, well, obviously, even if they're not the same religion, they still are able to connect over this.
Yeah, it's the same book, essentially.
Yeah, essentially.
But I think that, and also just them having that time, and even Jamie finally admitting to Roger that Point Break, aka Stephen Bonnet, is alive, and that he wants Roger to go after him should he not make it, was in a weird way a very bonding thing for them. Like, of Roger being like, well, I'll need you to teach me to fight if you want me to do this. And then in the end, him also doubling down and being like, I still want to go with you, and I still want to take him down with you. It's a darker a darker thing than quoting Bible verses together, but still bonding. So do we have any other final thoughts before we go into the main chunk of the episode? No? Well, all right.
Just that I'm really excited to talk about the differences in the book at the end.
Oh yeah, we'll get there. As always, thank you so much for making us the ESPN of TV talk. You come and you watch us do this on Zoom, or you listen to it on your podcast and you're in your home for the past, I don't know, it's been a month now. We appreciate you. You know, as always, please follow, rate, subscribe, YouTube, iTunes, Spotify. Are we on Spotify? I don't even know. Wherever you get your podcast, we appreciate you so much. And thank you again. Great. We are on Spotify. All right. Let's get back to the show. So the main portion is this snake bite and Claire and the decision to either let Jamie die or go against his wishes and cut off her leg, cut off his leg. So how do we feel about the main point? And then also that crazy buffalo that just wandered onto their property.
Yes. Well, they needed meat for the winter.
They needed the meat.
There you have it.
How convenient.
It was serendipitous. Yeah. And yeah. Bree took a little bit of.
Introducing Batiste Sweat Activated and Touch Activated Dry Shampoo. With breakthrough technology that absorbs oil and releases bursts of fragrance whenever you sweat or touch your hair for up to 24 hours, it's the ultimate hair care for girls on the go. Try the newest dry shampoo that's activated by you. Batiste, the future of hair care is here. Buy Batiste dry shampoo online or in store at your nearest retailer.
A hit there. I don't know how she survived that. That was pretty amazing. The buffalo charges, and you know, she flies.
And she got right up.
And she got right up.
As nothing happened.
Yeah, that's one tough lady.
So when I saw Jamie was on the porch crawling, something in my head said that was Bree crawling. And so I had to rewind it and go back because I was just expecting her to be down. And when I saw her up and embracing Jimmy, I was like, okay. So she's completely fine. There's no injuries, clearly. But yeah, that was crazy. Jamie got out of bed to see what was going on. And that was quite a scene.
Yeah.
You know, she's young and limber, man. I remember when I was like back in my youth, in my younger years, won't say how old I am. And I could, you know, fall down, get up, keep running.
Go, girl. Yeah.
Rachel, were you going to say something?
Yeah, I mean, just kind of piggybacking off what Anjel said about Jamie getting out of bed, jumping up, and he's going to go help, even though he's got a bag leg. He's feeling feverish. Yeah, I thought that was great. I also really appreciated that even after we got Jamie back to the house and Claire was tending to him, the fact that Roger was still kind of like sitting watch and, you know, just trying to be there for him. And we got these moments again between Roger and Jamie. And then with Roger saying, oh, I'm ferrying you around a lot, it seems. And then actually taking him to, you know, the bedroom to help him down. But what stood out to me too is the callbacks to Fergus and how he lost his hand and the difference. Like I really appreciated young Ian stepping in and saying, well, hey, you know, Jamie, you shouldn't be acting this way. Look at my father, look at Fergus. They are still around and they are still living their lives. And you know, Jamie, you're gonna pick death over losing your leg. Yeah. I loved that moment.
I feel like Jamie was ego tripping at that time, and he had to like check him. Like, you ego tripping right now. Like, we all know life is better than a missing leg. So come on, come back down to reality.
I completely agree with you, Angel. You know, but back in the 1700s, a man's ability to provide for his family, you know, was a very physical lifestyle. You know, you go out hunting, you have to make sure that you can protect your family if you have intruders, and the ability to get up and about. I mean, it's just completely tied to their manhood. And I mean, my heart just, you know, is breaking for Jamie because he wants to live, but I think in his heart as a man, he feels that he wouldn't be a total man, as you can see towards the end when he asked Claire to touch him so that he can feel alive and feel that she still loves him and admires him and desires him as a man, in spite of the fact that he may not have a leg.
Yeah.
That's a frightening prospect for him.
And that's one of the amazing things about Jamie as a character. This feels very characteristic of everything else we've seen from him. I was not surprised when he acted like this would be the end of his life to lose his leg, worse than actually dying. And I just, especially seeing Jamie at this age, it feels like we are actually seeing an older man set in his ways. I don't think of Jamie as being older, but sometimes his attitude and the way that he reacts to certain things reminds me of somebody who is older, who you know, might be super set in their ways. Like, think of, you know, the uncle with the cigar who's got like the guns. It's like, okay, like somebody who just like is very much like, yeah, like they just are who they are and there's no changing them and they're super stubborn.
Mm.
You guys know who gave me the fuzzies this episode? Yeah. Marcelline and Claire. Like that beginning, like that opening scene where she's like, at least you'll be here as not as my physician, but as my mom. And I felt like that was an establishing moment of the type of bond she wants with Claire, not as an understudy or an intern, but as a mother figure.
Yeah. Yeah, that was nice to see with Marcelline, just kind of all the growth that she's gone through, especially over the years. And then for her to have the baby in the end, you know, so she's, I don't know. It's just nice to see someone come full circle in the show. I guess we should talk about the bed scene with Claire and Jamie. I wasn't really going to touch on it because I wasn't sure if I was seeing what I thought I was seeing, honestly.
Way to revive someone.
She definitely, okay, to be crass, gave him a hand job to bring him back to life. How do we feel about that?
I don't know. To me, it was awkward.
It was so awkward.
It was the most memorable moment I think of all the season for me, because just the idea that that is life-giving, it blows my mind.
So on a scientific sense, you could be like, okay, well, it causes blood flow to come down. So maybe that's helping, but how can that really be helping? Because he has an infection, and I don't know. In any case,
That moment was awkward. What I loved, though, is the moment that came after the fact, later on, when Jamie was telling her about the portal he saw, and how her touch, basically him asking her to touch him, brought him back. Instead of him going into the portal. And it also made me think, like, not to speculate here, but I'm wondering if they chose the word portal for a specific reason that we don't know yet in terms of why we see the ghost Jamie in, you know, in season one.
But yeah.
Complete speculation.
Yeah. Who knows? It was an interesting way to touch on that for sure. But like I said, this was a bit of a slower paced episode for me. I did appreciate the moments we got of bonding between Jamie and Roger. And, you know, we really got to see that Claire and Jamie do have this never ending bond, and that she will kind of, it's hard to navigate the needs of you know, your husband versus like what's logical. And so to have Brianna come in the end and use her resources as an engineer to create a needle was great.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was...
What, is there anything?
Mm-hmm. No, just that I thought that was the perfect callback. And I thought that the way that they structured the episode, mm-hmm. It was really strong writing, because we have been feeling that Bree and Roger both are uncertain of what they're going to do. And so for Claire to have this mm-hmm. conversation with Brianna about, you know, hey, you can be an engineer. It doesn't matter what time you're mm-hmm. in. And then for it to come in and be like,
yes, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Like, you are who you are. And that was the whole point, is that Claire's always a healer. It doesn't matter if they call it a witch or if they call it being a doctor. She is who mm-hmm. she is, whether no matter how you label mm-hmm. it. And so the fact that they would have this conversation, and then by the end of the episode, Brianna and Roger saved the day together, you know, because of Brianna's ability to see this fang for what it could be. I thought it was brilliant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I thought it was a nice way to kind of merge that original conversation at the top of the episode with the bottom, with the end of the episode. And for mm-hmm. everyone to really play a part in saving Jamie's life, when you think about it, from Roger to Brianna to Claire. When they showed his leg, I was like, are they going to be able to save that? Will he be able to walk again? It just seemed like it was in pretty bad condition. So I'm curious to see how they're going to handle that in future episodes.
Yeah. I think Ian had a great role in saving Jamie's life as well. He recognized that mm-hmm. the horse was back and they weren't. And he went out, called the crew immediately to go find them. He heard the noise that Roger was making, and I think, yeah, all of the characters had a strong part in Jamie's survival.
Yeah, definitely.
I would agree.
Do we have any other final thoughts on this before we move into the special segment?
Well, we didn't talk about the conversation that, and maybe you're going to bring this up later, Adrian, towards the end of the show, but the conversation mm-hmm. Jamie had with Roger about killing Stephen Bonnet. I thought that was kind of interesting. Again, here's Stephen Bonnet coming up in another episode. And
listen closely. As a master painter carefully brushes Benjamin Moore Regal Select down the seam of the wall. It's like poetry in motion. Benjamin Moore, see the love.
You know, Jamie, even mm-hmm. though he's near death, is still thinking about destroying this man. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. That was
mm-hmm. We did talk about that a little bit when we were covering Jamie and Roger. But yeah, it was, even in death, something that Jamie really wanted.
Yeah. And I do think it's interesting that by the end, we got the arc with Roger, where this whole question of, well, can you kill a man? Like, even... is it ever morally okay to kill a man if you are trying to save yourself? And so I did appreciate that arc, and Roger coming to terms with the fact that, yes, he would be okay with this if it came down to it. He doesn't quite say, he doesn't quite say, oh, I'm going to 100% go and kill this guy. But it's almost like he's going to go along with it with Jamie, because he says, I would like to go to this meeting with you. And mm-hmm. so I loved that. I loved that now we have this really strong bond between Roger and Jamie, and that they're going to go avenge the people that they love together.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Angel, yes, did you have something?
I was just saying, it's a very strong foreshadowing moment. So you kind of know what to expect in the later episodes. There's definitely going to be a showdown between Jamie, Roger, and Bonnet, most definitely. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking forward to that, because that was a nice little build up there.
Yeah, and also that'll play into, if Jamie can't go on his own, is Roger going to have to go by himself to do this meeting? Because will Jamie be healed in time? It's just a lot of things that they're going to factor in. But with that said, if there's nothing else, then let's go into the special segment. All right. So page to screen with Rachel.
Yeah. Okay. So this we're getting near the end of the book, The Fiery Cross. One of the major things about these scenes between Roger and Jamie in the books that's different from the show is that they go, I mean, the book has the time to go more in depth with these conversations. So by the time we get to the scene with the buffalo where Jamie's bit, Jamie's already kind of been training Roger to sword fight. They've already camped out together. There's literally a chapter that's called Roger Buys a Sword. And so there's more to it by the time we actually get to the bite. And before Jamie is bitten, he mentions Stephen Bonnet. So it's not like a dying wish kind of thing. They're already talking about it. It's more out in the open than the way they're showing it in the way they're portraying it in the TV show. Just a random thing that I really appreciate in the books is that Jamie actually brings up Charles Stewart and the what if of Jamie and Claire trying to kill him to prevent Culloden, but the fact that they couldn't do it. And that's just a really, like, that's part of the depth of the conversation that they're having. And it was really interesting. And I loved, I love the callbacks to the, you know, the earlier seasons, the earlier books. So I loved that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, again, the conversations they have are lengthier. But obviously books have that liberty over a show, which has to fit in a certain time parameter. There's two more things. I mean, there's more. There was a scene with Fanny Beardsley that we didn't get in the show that we get in the books, unless they're planning on doing it later in the show. I don't know, so I'm not going to say much about that. Brianna and Claire, they have an entire conversation about snakes before she makes the syringe, and it's not the same snake. Yeah, so there's more to it there. Last thing I'm going to say is that Brianna, when it came to the buffalo, she actually hit it with an axe, and then Claire cut its throat with the amputation saw. So that's leave it. A lot of the rest of it was the same. In case anyone's wondering, the Claire having, you know, the moment that we were talking about with Claire and Jamie on the bed and, you know, maybe the hand job, we're not sure what it is. That did happen in the book. So in case you wanted to
know. That did happen?
It did, yeah.
So. Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's still weird, but okay. A full thing, or was it just a hand?
It was more drawn out. I'll just put it that way.
Wait, so was there penetration?
This is an R-rated show. Just say what
it is. Yeah, so right. It was full. It was complete, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
They had sex. Okay. Hey, they're married. So that's fine.
Yeah, I know.
Still so strange. I don't know. It's like that, like the end of True Blood where she like has sex with, sorry to spoil True Blood for you, but Bill, as he's dying, weird.
Last season was weird, but off topic.
Yeah, let's not even talk about True Blood anymore. So let's go into predictions. I always wait for the sound. There's no sound. I don't have that in my house. Okay, let's start with Anjel.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Oh, it is going. Awesome.
Cool. Very cool. Okay, so my prediction is, I've already said it, the foreshadowing of the whole battle with Stephen Bonnet. I'm looking forward to that. Between Roger, Jamie, and Stephen, and the hunt for Bonnet. And also, this whole thing just seems to bring both couples together closer. I feel like Claire and Jamie are going to be closer. She continues to save his life season after season. And Bree and Roger, he's overcome his whole anxiety about his voice and that whole thing he was struggling with last episode didn't really seem to be, I mean, it showed up this episode when he was trying to call out for them, but it wasn't as prominent. And he seems to be normal this episode with kissing, caressing, embracing his family.
Lee?
Well, my first prediction is that Jamie will be able to keep his leg. And I believe as a result of teamwork, Claire and Brianna and everyone pitching in and using their skills, I believe that he'll be able to keep that leg and they won't have to amputate. The second prediction is that Brianna will begin to see her purpose and develop her purpose and maybe be more open to finding creative ways to use her engineering skills to not only help Jamie, but the other people, you know, on Fraser's Ridge.
Yeah.
Rachel?
I think that, okay, so I think when they get to Wiley's Landing, it's, they're going to have a harder time. I mean, I don't see them actually taking care of Bonnet this season. And so that's my long-term prediction is that.
Oh, no.
Taking care of.
So I think that Bonnet is going to get away somehow. I mean, I'm just going to leave that prediction. Yeah. And then also, I feel like we're going to finally answer that question with Bree and Roger of what they want to do. I don't have a prediction for what the answer is in terms of are they going to stay or go, but I think that we are going to get, they're going to decide one way or the other in the next coming episodes. The other thing is that we are starting to get callbacks to, you know, them, to Roger knowing, for example, that Jamie wasn't going to die because they knew he was going to, you know, burn to death. So not to laugh about that. I'm only laughing because I know it's not going to happen. And, but at least that's my prediction, but one, two, I think that we're going to actually see Jamie and Claire start to address that more. Like the, what if it happens, we need to actually, you know, figure out how we're going to get around our fate.
Yeah.
And also, I just want to give a shout out to Elizabeth Brown in the chat. She's also been talking about the books. So, yeah, she's one of our other readers.
Nice. Hello, Elizabeth. Yeah, I think as much as I want them to get rid of Point Break, they're not going to get rid of Point Break this season, which sucks. He's always been a bit more wily than they anticipate. And I don't think it's going to be easy when they do have to confront him for anyone. And it could end up being a catastrophe. I don't know if, yeah, I will say the thing in terms of them dying in a fire, if they didn't find bodies, I mean, you can't say they did. You can just say that their place burned down and they were never seen again. And that's it, really. That's really all it really is. So who knows about that? And then I don't know. I think Roger, I could definitely see just by the way they're aging Jimmy that it could be a possibility of Roger taking Jimmy back to the future. Yes, I love when I get to see that. And Bree staying behind with her family for a little bit longer.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
But just for the safety of Jimmy, him going back without them. So we'll see. All right. Well, that wraps up this episode.
Good question for Rachel. Sorry about that.
Mm-hmm.
No, okay. It's Rachel. If the episode played out the way the book did, would you enjoy it more? Would you say that you enjoyed the way that they narrated the book or more so the show?
So I love getting more information. So I love the way it's written. I love the show. Don't get me wrong. I love the way that, you know, Sam Heughan, Richard Rankin, like I love the way that they, I love the way that we actually get to see the characters and the way that it plays out on the screen. But I kind of like them in tandem. So like, I love watching the episode and then I love going back to the book and getting more information. Mm-hmm. So I would say both. Yeah, mm-hmm. I would say because it's like digging in and finding out more trivia about the world that you already love.
Okay.
Yeah, and getting to read these longer interactions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that wraps up our episode of the Outlander After Show on AfterBuzz TV. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. I'm Adrienne Snow. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Miss Adrienne Snow. That's pretty much all you can do right now. Nothing else is going on in life. Rachel?
You can. I'm Rachel, and you can follow me on Twitter at Rachel. Rach Goodman, not Rachel. Rach Goodman. Or you can find me on my author Instagram account at Rachel Radner Author. That's about it. That's going on for me. If you want, you can find me on Amazon at Rachel Radner, with where I'm publishing my books.
Right. Angel.
Hey, you can follow me on social media platforms under
Angel,
like Angel with the
name Angel Taylor, I think.
Yeah.
Hey.
No worries.
So
yeah, you can follow Angel at Twitter and Instagram on at Angel Taylor, I believe. Sorry, we're having a little bit of technical difficulties. And then Lee, where can they follow you?
Hi, you can follow me on every social media platform. You can check me out on Twitter at 50+50+ and fabulous at Lee Broadway, LEIGHBROADWAY. You can also check out my website at 50plusandfabulous.com, and of course Facebook and Instagram.
All right. Well, that wraps it up. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Angel's back. There we go. All right. And we will see you next week. Bye.
See what?
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.